this with we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide it. Is this with we turn up the party? All night feels good, we can't decide it. Turn up the party, turn up the party. Party, party, turn up the party. Hey everybody, it is January 10th, 2018. This is the Geeks Next Door, episode 143. How's it going, everybody?
Gina. Damn.
That's a big number.
Alright, so...
That's a big number.
So how's it going, guys? We talk about movies here tonight on this podcast. We talk about video games. We talk about TV shows. We talk about stuff like that, right?
We do.
Yeah.
Yes.
From time to time.
So I asked each of you to try to think of a movie you really like. I said, find one movie that not even doesn't have to be your favorite, because I know sometimes that's hard. That's a lot to put into it. But what is one movie you really like? And so just give me what are they? Give them to me.
I love you, man.
Ooh, wow. Nice work.
Come on. I want all of them at once.
I do it.
Starship Troopers.
Okay.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, next.
Shawshank Redemption.
Okay, next.
Clue.
Okay.
Ooh, very nice.
I really fucking love it.
No, we're not doing commentary yet. Alright, and I'm going to say fucking The American President. Amazing movie that everyone
wants. No commentary.
Okay, you're right. Alright, who wants to go first?
What are we doing?
What are you talking about?
What's that matter?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, so go, Ryan.
Yes?
You win!
I win.
Alright, so you got like 2 or 3 minutes here. 2 to 3 minutes. I'll put a timer down here because it's kind of foggy. Otherwise, it'll go forever. And what I want you to do is explain the movie. No. Go through the movie as vigorously as you can so that I understand the movie if I've never seen it before. Not just the plot, but whatever is happening. Just explain the movie to me. I've never seen it. Tell me about the movie. I want to know. I want to be able to visualize it by the time you're done. Go.
Okay. Starship Troopers is a really interesting movie that is kind of weird because it fits into different categories. It's kind of like a drama comedy.
And you're 2 minutes are up.
It's like a playtime. But it's also sci-fi. And it's interesting in that, like, it's sort of cheesy. What does it remind me of? It reminds me of a lot of stuff. It reminded me of something. I was thinking about this today. It reminded me of something. I can't remember. Fuck! I forgot my analogy. But anyways, it's about the situation where the Earth is under attack by these sort of space insects that are suddenly started blowing up shit. And the movie kind of gets real all of a sudden when, like, Rio de Janeiro gets blown the fuck up, and, like, people are like, oh my god! And, like, so the U.S., the world unites and gets their fucking super force together, and they got the Starship Troopers, and people get enlisted in different things based on their talents. And this Doogie Howser, M.D., he ends up being, like, a super psychic dude, and he's able to, like, work with the scientists and shit like that and try to figure out how these bugs work so they can stop them. And then, like, Rico has got his girlfriend, and they're all girlfriends. He's like a super, like,
they're all girlfriends.
Football, like, space-age football player. And he and his girlfriend are, like, all together and happy, and they're like, okay, let's go, and we'll do our own thing. And she becomes a fucking pilot, which is, like, high-class prestige, and she's with this, like handsome dude who, like, he used to play football against, who's actually nice and tall and strong, but he's kind of like, what the fuck, man? I thought you were with me, and I'm a fucking Marine. I'm a space Marine. And he, like, his Marines go in, they go into battle, and they shoot, like, fucking machine guns at these kind of, like, arachnid-looking giant insect things, and they battle it out, and have these, and so there's this, like, love relationship, and there's this camaraderie of his group, and stuff like that, and then, like, in the end, like, the fucking space Marines get the brain bug. And the brain bug is key to figuring out how to stop the insects. And Doogie uses the information of the brain bug's brain to figure out how to stop them. And they win, and it's pretty cool because it's, like, kind of, like, serious, but it's also, like, tongue-in-cheek. And it's done in a way that's so consistent and well done that you kind of, like, are like, are they trying to be funny? And then later you're like, they were trying to be funny. And yet they were doing it in a subtle way, and it's like an amazing, subtly amazing movie. The end.
All right, good job.
How many minutes was that?
Less than three. So, what did he miss? What did Ryan miss in his explanation that you guys think feels important? It was really good, though. Really good.
The only good bug is the dead
Buenos
bug.
Buenos Aires, not Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, whatever.
But pretty close.
Close continent.
Adam, I like yours. The only good bug is a dead bug.
Would you like to know more?
Would you like to know more? Sure.
Rico's Roughnecks.
The whole
See, didn't quote things because it was for people that might not.
Yeah,
know
sure,
in
and that's
mind,
fine. So. But still, that's the flavor of that. But I understand what you're saying. The whole subplot with the girl who really likes him, but he doesn't really like her until one night she fucks him and then dies.
That's true. That happened to him.
So uncorrelated.
Yeah. And she's like, "It's okay because I got to have you."
Right. She goes, like,
"Oh yeah." I don't know if he was ever that into her.
No, he wasn't. She was there. He was into the other girl, obviously.
That's pretty funny.
All right, cool. Did good.
Oh, okay. By the way, the show that it reminds me of now is Orville.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because they're both like it's sci-fi. It's a little tongue in cheek, but it's not like Orville didn't go all the way tongue in cheek, and then people thought it was gonna fail because it didn't go far enough, and then all of a sudden people really like it. Why? Because there's this place in between super over the top and serious where good things can live, but they rarely do.
Okay. I got you. There is this place where things can live. Yeah, Orville recently has been kind of serious too, actually. Like more serious than not, it seems.
Oh, really? Yeah. I haven't watched it this year.
Last one, like, they had to sacrifice, like, 30 people or something like that.
Why?
Well, I heard the whole intent of it was supposed to be a one-hour drama, but Fox like messed up the marketing of it, which, oh, go figure, that's exactly what they did with Serenity. So, Firefly. Yeah.
Okay.
There's my two cents.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Anybody want to go next?
Okay.
Okay, you picked fucking
Shawshank.
All right, paint me Shawshank as I watch it without being able to see it.
So Shawshank is a story of a man wrongfully accused of murdering his wife and her lover. And he goes to prison, and he's fresh meat coming into the prison. And he's got to learn to make some friends pretty fast, we find out. He makes friends with a guy named Red. Now, Red's got an epic voice, well-recognized, very good actor. Red is the guy that can get you anything. Now, Andy, he knows that he's got to watch out for himself. So the whole beginning part of the movie is him trying to find his place, trying to find his posse. And, you know, one of the best ways he does to be able to make friends is, of course, to, you know, be able to get things for a group of guys. Like, hey, yeah, we'll tar the roof of the prison, but you got to give us beer afterwards. You know, he works out deals. He knows how to work out deals. And, you know, some of his famous deals is writing the state prison board insistently so much so that they finally cave and give him money to build a library. But he's really good at making deals. So much so, and he's really good with money, that the warden like, hey, I need you to help me embezzle some money. I need you to help me launder some money. There's gonna be something at the end that's gonna catch everybody by surprise. But we're not there yet. Now, the whole time that he's working in the prison, he's making friends, but he's kind of like this enemy of the warden and the guards. They just don't know it. And we come to the very end. And, like, where's Dufresne? Where'd he go? Can't find him. Oh, lo and behold, you know, he was getting all those rocks, and he was getting a little rock scraper because he was making a chess set. No, he wasn't. He was digging a wall, man. He was digging out the wall, and he ends up escaping. Then we find out that the whole time that he was laundering money, he was really created a fake persona and put all the money in this account for this fake persona. Well, guess what? He's the fake persona. So he escapes. He gets the money. He runs to Mexico. He leaves this note for his friend Red. Red gets out of prison. Finally, the parole board's like, hey, yeah, I guess you've been here long enough. You're like 80, so why don't you go? And Red remembers something that Andy told him. There's a rock under this oak tree that does not belong there.
Look under that rock.
No, that's where he ends up, is Zihuatanejo. Right? But it was like Fort something, Texas. And then Red shows up on the beach, and there's Andy's brain working on a boat.
Ooh, dang. What a twist.
All right. Okay. Not bad. I'll give it a solid effort. What did he miss?
C plus.
I think plot was there. Quotes that came to mind as he said it. Because like, images pop into your head. Like, I remember when he was on the roof, and he was like, do you trust your wife? And the guy grabs him. Because if you do, there's no reason you need to get rid of any of that money. That part was sweet. Remember that shit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then...
Brooks. Brooks was here. Brooks is a cautionary tale. Oh, yeah, Brooks. Cautionary tale, Brooks is.
Yeah. That was good. Good-ass movie. I'll say that right now.
I love that movie. Whenever it's on, I have to watch it. And I do anything else, I have to sit down and I have to watch it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Adam, give me one, baby.
Yo. All right. Hold on.
Oh, are you writing stuff? I love it.
It helps.
It's fine.
Why would I write things down?
You can refer to notes if you wish. I mean, I was hoping you'd pick a movie you just know so intrinsically.
Oh, well, there goes Chris.
And oh, no, it's Chris. Not 10:30 yet. Chris is gone.
All right. Damn it.
Where did Chris go?
So this long pause is brought to you by Taco Bell.
Oh, Taco Bell's pretty fucking great, buddy.
I don't know what it is.
That I was reminded of by your thing. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Now. Get busy living, get busy dying, Ryan.
That one's good, true. But there's
Hope kill a man in here.
Yep.
Didn't you? Hey, Ryan. Didn't you know we're all innocent in here?
Okay, so where were we at? Adam, you were talking about your movie.
I was.
What's your movie?
What's my movie? My movie is I Love You Man.
All right, I'll set the timer. Paint me the I Love You Man. I've never seen that before. What's this movie about? And what are the scenes and who are the characters? Just go.
All right, so we have a bromance rom-com movie with Paul Rudd. And he's a realtor who is getting married to the chick from Parks and Rec and The Office. So he's got no real male friends. Like, his brother's got a best friend. His dad's got a best friend, but he doesn't have a best friend. So he decided to go on a series of man dates to find a best friend. And he finds that best friend in Jason Segel, who is pretty cool. And in the meantime, he sells houses that smell like farts. Yeah, see this movie.
What the fuck? Give me more. How does it? Give me more. How does it end? Does anything happen? What happens? I don't even know this movie. It's like I went to see a movie and I got the first 15 minutes.
I know. That's awesome. Makes you want to see it.
No,
right?
You're supposed to bring me through the movie. Come on, you got another minute. Tell me how it ends. Tell me what happens in it.
Let's see.
And I was like, I don't know. I didn't see it.
I don't remember. I didn't get that far in my writing.
You don't gotta write anything.
I did. I got a whole bunch of notes written down.
Jesus, did you only go through half the movie though?
Well, you interrupted me. I couldn't get through the rest. So he ends up selling a house of Lou Ferrigno that did smell like farts.
The Ferrigno estate.
The Ferrigno estate. He ends up finding a best man in Jason Segel and learns to play some Rush music. Guitar style. Slapping the bass.
Slapping the bass.
Slapping the bass, man. I don't know. That seems about right, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay, sounds good. What else? What can we add to that?
I mean, I think the key plot points is when, like, he's getting married and then, like the guy shows up. So it's, like, sort of like the classic thing where, you know, someone shows up to the wedding in the last minute and say, I really love you, but this time it's, like, his friend who shows up to be at his wedding, to be the best man. So that's the, like... key, you know, like, moment of, like, oh, you really are my friend, kind of. Because they always have to have that rough spot, right? That's how those romantic comedies work. So they got the rough spot.
I forgot about that.
Where he takes it too far and puts all the, you know, billboards up.
Love it.
That's yeah, awesome. This is just, like, it's funny that you could substitute any type of, like, romance movie where they actually get married, but it's the exact same thing but with two dudes.
That's why it's awesome.
The movie's the basic plot is pretty simple, but it's basically quote movie.
Yeah,
because the lines are what really make it. It's like,
of course, yeah. The scenes are what make the movie, and that's what I'm kind of asking you guys. What are the scenes that make the movie? It's like, but anyways, okay, good job.
Hey, thanks, Jobin.
Right? Did you say Jobin?
Oh, Pistol Pete.
Yeah, Hank Mardukas and Robbie.
And Hank Mardukas. Yeah. All right, Dave, you got Clue. Give me Clue.
I'm going to say this is the hardest one.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Okay. The base premise is six strangers start arriving to a big palatial estate on a rainy evening. Once they start arriving, they all seem to know or recognize or have crossed paths with each other. There's the classic characters, Mrs. Peacock, Mr. Green, Colonel Mustard, Professor Plum, Miss Scarlet, and Mrs. White. They're met by Wadsworth, like the butler at the door, who greets them all and ushers them around the house and into the dining room, where there is a cook. And then there also is a vet who is the maid. And they eat a dinner very uncomfortably and stuff like that. A chilled a monkey's brains. Right. And they're very awkward and they don't realize why they're there. They just I'm a psychiatrist. I, you know, run this kind of a business. And then they're ushered in after dinner into the study. Where there, Wadsworth explains that they are all there because they are being blackmailed. The master of the house, Mr. Body, all has information on all of them, and is going to use that for his nefarious devices. He comes in, explains his plot. There, the light goes out, and when the light gets finally turned on, he has been murdered.
Oh no!
There's a cabinet filled with various weapons of all sorts. A lead pipe, a gun, a noose for some reason, because that's the most, like, a knife.
Candlestick.
A candlestick.
Revolver.
A revolver, yes. 1 + 1 + 2 + 1. And they basically go on, you know, on adventures, walking through the thing, interacting with each other, and uncovering how they're all connected while trying to figure out who actually murdered whom. Various people show up, like, they're like, ah, there's a scream, you know? You know, they're like, over here, run over here, and it's like, ah, someone's dead in the kitchen. And they find kind of secret passages to the conservatory. Like, a cop shows up, and he's like, I know what's going on here. You guys is just having a party. There ain't nothing wrong with a party. The singing telegram is probably my favorite part. She's just shows like, I'm a singing telegram. And just gets instantly shot. But what my favorite part is like, after all these things are revealed, you know, Mr. Body, Mr. Body is revealed to actually have been the butler, and Wadsworth the whole time is the guy doing the whole plot. Well, the twist is like he's been behind it the whole time and forcing people to go, and he goes like, hey, here's how it happened. They show one ending. Because it's shot so well and it's written so well, that plot makes perfect sense. That ending makes perfect sense of who killed whom. But here's another way it could have happened, and that also works. But then they realize that the true plot is everyone is guilty of everything except for Mr. Green, who says, I didn't kill anyone! And he actually ends up being part of the FBI and working directly for Mr. Hoover himself.
But communism was just a red herring.
Communism was a red herring.
Okay, good job. That was a good one. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, so what else? What, guys, anything to add to Dave's rendition?
I don't know if I ever saw that movie.
Oh, God, Ryan.
Really? Oh, God, Ryan. It's so good.
I mean, I know the story, obviously, but...
Of the board game of going from room to room.
That's the story.
Like, and it's lots of little lines, Ryan. Like, you know,
it's
like...
so many little lines.
Where it's like, why does the car stop? And Professor Plum, like, it's frightened. It's frightened. The car stopped because it's frightened. Other than that, that's what I got there.
Yay! I got a good picture of the movie, so I know you did good. Having been the first one, I've not seen, or at least don't remember seeing.
Okay. Yeah.
This man is drunk. Dead drunk.
So, I have no love for that movie like you do, apparently. I don't know. That's maybe I should watch it again. Maybe it gets better. Maybe it ages like fine wine.
Right. Okay. It's the writing that does it. Like, having, you know, gotten older and writing is more important to me. Writing is good.
It's one of those movies that I don't think they could do today. Like, quality-wise. I don't think it
would just be great. I don't know if they have, like, that many good character actors all together that would be able to do it right.
They gotta be able to do something right.
If they got that many big actors, they'd have to make it an Ocean's 11 style movie where everyone gets like 22 minutes of total screen time, so everyone's equal and stuff like that. Because
true, it's true. Okay.
All right, who's next?
Chris Banks.
All right, and we haven't talked about why we do this, but okay. So, American President. I know you guys have not sat down and watched this movie because it is it's a movie with heart. And it's about a relationship with two people, and people don't watch those movies at all. So you got Sydney Ellen Wade, right? She's a lobbyist who works for an environmental firm. So she's at the White House. She's trying. Their big thing is they want to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 20%. They want to get the president on board to do this. So she's talking with his chief of staff, played by Martin Sheen, I think is that guy's name, right? And she's like laying down the law. If you don't do this, you don't do this, blah, 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 blah. And the president walks in behind her and she's insulting the president and she doesn't see him. And then she sees him and she's super embarrassed. Oh my God. But you know what? He's got a little thing for her already. He's like, ooh, I like what I see here. They have a conversation and then they have a private conversation. She yells at him some more and then tries to walk away, but walks into a closet and gets embarrassed and leaves. Fast forward to that evening, he calls her at home. He's like, I'm the president, I can call a girl. He was also a widow who has a teenage daughter. His wife died previously from cancer. So that's why he's actually in the business of courting a young lady. So he calls her at home and she's like, this isn't the president, hangs up on him. But no, it is the president, oh my God. And he's like, hey, you should come over and we should talk some more. So they do. They come over and they talk about this. She thinks it's all about business, about trying to get the greenhouse gas reduced and stuff like that. He doesn't really care too much about that. But he says, you know what? I'll make you a deal. We'll do, if you can get it down, if you can get the required votes in Congress, we will give you full White House support for 10% for 20%. If you can get this many votes. But he knows that'll never happen, right? Because whatever side is opposing it, and they'll never get those votes. So the whole movie is basically them trying to get the votes slash going on dates together. Oh my God, the president's going on a date with a lobbyist, and it's fun and it's awesome. And they have these scenes where she seems embarrassed, but it's actually him that's embarrassed and out of touch with dating. And then they bone, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, they boned." So finally, at the very end, the president, what his agenda is to try to get gun control. So they, you know what's interesting? They never talk about which side is Republicans and what side are Democrats. They lay it all just based on the politics. So he wants to get rid of assault weapons, all this other stuff, right? So he makes this bill, and this really hard bill. And at the end, they come to find out that these people that offered her the vote, the last three people that she needed to get this 20% reduction in greenhouse gases, would sell their vote to the president to get the firearm reductions if they didn't have to do that other one. They're like, basically, you could choose between one or the other. And he says, "God, you know what? I'm going to choose politics." So he chooses the firearms. Now she gets hung out to dry, and her bill is not going to go through. Very sad. She's obviously mad, breaks up with him, starts running and runs away, and he's got to go and give the State of the Union. And just before he gives the State of the Union, Alex P. Keaton has to rewrite the speech because he changes his mind. He's like, "You know what? This gun control thing makes no sense, and because we're leaving too much, we're making too many compromises, and I'm not going to give up the woman I love for politics." So he goes on stage, he gives the State of the Union in a heartrending speech, and it's all about how he's going to throw the support into getting this greenhouse reduction and what's basically what's her thing, and rewrite the firearms things, redo it, and just when he's done, he walks backstage. He's going to go get her. He's like, I'm going to go get her. He's going to find a way to go get her. But guess what? She came back. Oh, she came back even before the speech because she knew that true love was what mattered. And they were going to be together. This makes me so happy. And everybody's happy. And it's a great movie. And the main thing about it that makes it so great is you have a president who actually loves America and actually wants to do good things and not just sell people out. Yeah, that's it. Isn't that a good movie? You guys should see that movie.
Sounds pretty good.
Oh, it's fucking amazing. I should see it. Okay, what did I leave out?
Let's see. That part. What was that part? The part where it was a great movie. I don't think you said that. Did you say it was a great movie?
I did. Super good movie.
Oh, okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure you said that it was a great movie.
I said it like 4 times. You guys said yours was a great movie like 30 times. So fucking lay off, man.
No, I'm. Oh shit! Lay off him. He's starving. No, like that. Like you. Like my reverence for Clue. You do not have it. I have seen The American President, but it does not resonate with me the way it does with you. Like, I think it's okay, but it just does not. It does not hit me the same way.
Doesn't your wife really like this movie too?
I don't know what she likes all the time. She likes a lot of things.
Adam, what was your movie again? Oh, yeah, I Love You, Man.
Thanks, I love you too.
Okay, so without...
But what is your movie?
Without doing any research, what do you think on Rotten Tomatoes the user score has the... Which one has the highest Rotten Tomatoes user review percentage? Okay. Without doing any looking.
Oh, Shawshank.
Shawshank.
Shawshank. And then you got Starship. Then you got I Love You, Man. And then you got The American President. And is there any more? I have one more.
Clue. Okay. Would you like to know the actual numbers?
No. Yes. I want to guess.
Shawshank 1. I Love You, Man 2.
Okay, so Shawshank is tied with The American President at 91% user reviews.
Bullshit.
Sure.
I'm gonna say that nobody has seen The American President. That's why the ratings are so high.
I Love You, Man is at 83%.
That's pretty good.
Starship Trooper 63.
Yep.
And Clue 59.
Nobody's seen Clue.
So basically, The American President is better than Shawshank. This whole thing has been just to tell you guys, American President is better than Shawshank.
What was the highest review, or critics-wise?
I'm sure it's Who cares?
Really? It's probably Shawshank, but I bet you Starship Troopers makes significant ground.
Wait,
although that was one where you think it got good reviews from critics? It initially was reviewed poorly, but then it kind of grew a cult following.
Yes, yeah, remember, cult does not define. Critics don't go back and be like, cult.
No, I'm not saying that it's going to blow things away, but it just might be better than 63%, which is pretty garbage considering how good of a movie it is.
No, I think what I was giving you guys was the critics' reviews. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you go to top critics,
yeah,
it goes down, right? It goes from 63 to 57%.
Yeah, I was giving you guys critics' reviews. Oh, audience man. Score, we don't... people, audiences are stupid. We listen to critics on this fucking one.
Chris picks the number that supports his theory.
All right, cool. Thanks for engaging in such hubbubloo. I was curious to hear you guys describe a movie you really like. And to try to visualize it through your eyes. That's it.
Let me make a caveat on this. This is very difficult to do when it's like not genre specific. Like if you would say, what's your favorite sci-fi movie? What's your favorite fantasy movie? What's your favorite action movie? Comedy, whatever.
Well, it wasn't like what your favorite was.
Yeah, just what your favorite.
Just some movie you enjoy.
I said a movie that's one of your favorites. It doesn't have to be your favorite, but something up there because, yeah, I mean, picking a favorite movie sucks, but picking a movie that you love, that makes it easy to tell about because you love it. You've seen it 30,000 times, or in Ryan's case, 4 times, and then you know it really well.
I didn't actually pick a movie until about... an hour before this.
Okay, that's fine. I mean,
with a discussion with my wife.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man! Can't you just pick a movie you like?
You can't pick a movie on his own.
The first thing she said is like, "Oh, that's tough. You like a lot of movies."
Huh? Interested. Okay, I'm surprised you didn't pick like the Shallows. You could tell us all about the Shallows.
Oh, that was a very.
I'm surprised
good
nobody picked the Star Wars movie. Actually,
Star Wars.
I thought about Jaws a lot because I've seen that movie a really lot and I really love that movie. But I was like, I'm surprised as many. I wonder why like comedies are so high. You know, like because and I just thought about it, Ryan. You did not say that is really a kind of a. It's not a spoof, but it is a what would I call that? It is definitely not. It's definitely tongue in cheek.
Yeah, I mentioned tongue-in-cheek.
It almost feels like satire in some places.
Yeah, satire. That's the word I'm looking for, yes. It is very satirical.
Yeah. But anyways, cool. I like talking about movies. Movies are fun. What else is out in the world that we're talking about today that's not movies?
Solo dropped on Netflix. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah? Maybe I'll watch that. I haven't seen that since the movie theater.
Right. It dropped yesterday, I think, so I already watched it once.
Twice. Three times
lady. Ooh. All right. What else we got?
I just put a meme up of Superman saving Lois Lane from R. Kelly.
Oh, what's the name of that show? That's that new show?
Surviving R. Kelly.
That's pretty funny.
Is he like in jail or something?
Not yet.
No, I think he was acquitted, so.
How is he acquitted? They're looking into it again.
Well, they have to they have to get new evidence, yeah, because you can't try them again for the same crime.
That'd be double jeopardy.
that's hilarious, Adam. Mm-hmm. Adam, what are these? What is this fucking swords fighting?
Excuse me. I found a pole arm class on YouTube where a guy teaches axe fighting, which is full arms, and in full armor. It looks pretty cool. I think it'd be something that we would probably like to do. And they do like pretty good hits on these.
Pursuing the knightly arts,
right? Huh. I think he does a series of different classes and stuff like that on medieval combat, martial arts.
Interesting.
But the way they're using the polearm is kind of different than what I would assume that it was used at, like, back in the medieval times.
Because they're using all of it. They're using the handle, they're using all that stuff. They grab it by the blade, they use whatever they have to
be able
to...
Yeah, and the way they... It looks like they're primarily holding it is that the axe part is underneath, so they're jabbing. Yeah. They're using it like a perfect weapon. They're using it as spear point, and then they're coming up underneath with the axe head or the hammer.
Adam, I know what you're talking about. Did you see Ryan? Ryan was looking all serious. Perfect weapon. When you said you held it like a perfect right, Ryan's solid veneer facade just went like. Crack just the smile in the corner right there, just like he's like, that's true. So I'm ahead of my time.
Watching this video, did they say what these are? I mean, they look like
they're axes,
but they don't look like axes. They look like Beck de Corbin's or the old pole arms that look like that.
Halberds or long.
They don't look as long as halberds, but they do look like kind of. What do they call them? Did you watch it all or?
I watched it without commentary, without sound, because I don't know.
Interesting.
It looked pretty fun. Plus, they're using full plate armor, and they're getting their clocks rattled pretty good with the strikes and hits.
Wait, they're bringing clocks into it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh.
Well, yeah.
They're getting hit pretty hard. It looks like something that would be fun to do.
I would not want to do that.
You wouldn't?
No, I mean, it'd be fun to, like, learn how to be good, but to get fucking swung at and smacked, get knocked out, being in a big old hot armor thing, it'd be hard work being a fighter in full
time. Ryan, you know those are made to, like, do cartwheels in? Like, full plate is made to be very maneuverable, right?
I'm sure it's hot as fuck,
You're
though.
Still gonna get, like... fucking hit, and it's gonna be annoying.
It's like getting hit with a boxing glove. It doesn't hurt as much.
It's like if you have a helmet on football. I mean, that you can still, you're still gonna get hit. You're still gonna
spinal cord damage. It's all right.
No, that's cool. Okay.
It looked like something that would be fun to do.
I'm watching a scene, like, part of it where he's, like, was walking through it, and he was like, well, then if he does this, well, then I'm going to grab his leg, and then I'm going to do this. It almost seemed like
little he was jiu-jitsu.
Making... No, that he was making it up as he goes, like he's during this class.
But he's not.
He's just, like, making it up as he goes, like, and then you go ahead and grab his leg, and then...
What he's doing is working off ancient, like, scrolls of, like, combat techniques.
Yes, it is from, they showed earlier where they show the scroll. It is Harnischfechten, which is German for fighting in armor on foot. It's basically a manual that was written. It's pretty cool.
It is cool. I actually do think it's cool. I just thought it was funny that it did look like he was.
I don't know if the axe, pole axe, would be like my favorite thing to use, but it'd be fun to learn. Because the blade on that thing is not very big. Need
you
a
got
big
reach,
blade.
Though, which is kind of nice.
A little bit of reach. So, yeah, they do some cool disarming moves and stuff like that. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
Also, okay, here's one. Dave, what do you think the Urban Dictionary definition of the Batman is?
Ooh, the Batman.
Good question.
Has to do with the flashlight, probably.
Right. So, you're doing a girl from behind, and you suddenly grab a flashlight and flash it towards the ceiling. Once she is distracted and confused by the light, scream, to the Batcave!
Good lord.
And then you put it in her butt?
And you put it in her butt.
Okay, like that's the added part you needed to do.
Boy. Okay, cool. How about some TV news? What do we got?
I got another one. I like when we put Adam in charge of things.
Yeah.
I got another one.
I don't.
I got another one. Ryan, did you watch the presidential State of the something address or whatever the fuck that was.
I did. Well, I watched the one that was yesterday. Wait, the one that was Tuesday.
We were
Tuesday.
We were all. No,
I didn't watch it live, but I did watch it.
Oh,
I actually watched it that evening.
So, on I think Twitch or no, it wasn't Twitch. I don't remember what station it was on. But Stormy Daniels, as the president, took to the airwaves to deliver his address from the Oval Office. Stormy Daniels did her part, folding laundry for 10 minutes and 5 seconds. Like, all she did was fold laundry.
On Twitch.
In her lounge.
Scantily clad.
That's
it. I don't get it. What's the significance of that?
I think just to distract from watching the thing.
Watching, is it presidential?
I see.
Like, come watch
Give people
me.
An alternative. Yes, like, exactly. I got you. Yeah.
Huh. Ryan, it is impossible because you didn't get home till Wednesday morning, so ha.
Well, I guess maybe you're right, actually. Technically, you're correct. Yeah. I watched it Wednesday morning. You sons of bitches.
I can't believe it, Ryan.
So, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yes. all right. It makes me... I don't want to get into it because that just makes me annoyed. I'm a Twitch streamer. What do you do? I just sit here and play video games. Full screen, showing you my cleavage. 6,000 followers!
Hey!
Okay, so besides Adam, who else has got something to talk about?
Hold on, I got more.
Yes, go, keep going.
No, I don't have any more.
They dropped the trailer, the official trailer for Punisher Season 2.
Last week?
Today.
This might be the only one I don't watch, honestly.
It looks good.
Sure. Not saying it doesn't look good.
Yeah. What's his face? The other military dude comes back now as a Jigsaw. I think he's called Jigsaw. Billy Russo. Yeah.
Yep, he is Jigsaw.
He's that other kid that was in the movie or show.
Yeah, he was the one that was in charge of the new security company that was really embezzling money.
I thought he died. No, what happened to him at the end of the movie?
Well, he escaped. He's all scarred up, so that's why they call him Jigsaw.
Gotcha. Okay. So. Oh yeah, and that's good because he was super like handsome, and he's like, I'm handsome, and everybody loves my handsomeness.
Yep.
Okay. So he's got a good origin series story.
Yep. So that looks good.
Yeah, I might not watch that one because I'm. Just, there's just a lot to watch, and that will fall probably last. There's just so many to figure out, finish, and maybe someday.
TV news, lead into movie news. There's a lot of speculation on what the new Picard series is going to be about, because they did announce that what took place in the J.J. Abrams universe with the destruction of Romulus. Actually is canon.
Oh,
and
God damn it. So annoying.
Why are they... So they're... Chris is feeling the same way I feel about Star Wars.
No, except for the fact that Star Wars didn't have, like, 8 seasons of... 24 seasons of show that's basically null and void now? I mean, that's...
Right.
What the fuck? That doesn't... Oh, that's so stupid. Yeah, remember all the Star Trek shows you love? None of them matter anymore. They didn't take place, actually.
Wait, why is that?
Because they can't possibly have taken place if Romulans don't exist. It's a different universe now.
Oh, so there is some universe where Romulans don't exist that's canon.
Yes. That is the canon. So.
Didn't the destruction of Romulus take place after Star Trek Nemesis? Where Picard faces his clone self?
Yes.
Wait, yes. But that's way after the show.
You're thinking of Vulcan.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting it mixed up.
So yeah, I know. Which one are you talking about?
After Nemesis, So
the J.J. Abrams ones, I don't know that well because they suck. So yeah. Which one are you talking about is canon and what happens?
So both are canon. Both the destruction of Romulus in the future and the destruction of Vulcan early.
Okay, but wait. So I know, if there's no Vulcan, that will completely change the timeline as well.
Right, because does Picard really truly have the memories of Spock that he ended up sharing with Sarek or vice versa, right?
No.
So they're trying to figure this out. Like, how are they going to figure this out in the show? What's the show going to be about?
What annoys me most about this is you're saying everything you grew up in is happening in one universe. This is all the other universe. And guess what? Going forward, all the characters you love from that other universe, they're now in this other universe. But I don't care as much because that's not the universe I grew up in.
Now, they did say the new show does take place 20 years after the end of Star Trek Nemesis. So it's 20 years later. So
this next news is some good stuff. We're moving ahead with amazing things.
You talk about Dune?
Of course I'm talking about Dune.
Dune. Yeah, so we had some announcements on castings. Mr. Drax, Dave Bautista himself, will be joining the movie. He'll be playing Beast Raban.
Yeah.
The sadistic nephew of the Baron.
Yep.
So he'll be joining the crew. And then our favorite Norwegian, I go insane when Thor shows up, Stellan Skarsgård. He has been cast as the main villain, right? Yeah, he's going to be playing the Baron. Baron Harkonnen.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Who's, okay, so Raban, he's going to play Raban. That's interesting. I can see that, I guess.
Yep. 100% I can see that.
Although, it makes me sad because Drax is such a happy man, a silly man, that it'll be Raban. It does not come off as silly. But they're different characters.
No one can jump over.
Well, he was painted blue and shit, so like I think like that'll make him like look visibly
green?
Different.
Green, Ryan.
I know what you mean. I know. I just when I see Batista now, it always reminds me of Drax for some reason. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Who have we had anybody else? Who's Paul going to be? Do we know who Paul's going to be?
Timothy Chalamet.
Who the fuck is that, Timothy? How is
Noah? It's like. Like Timothy, but instead of, it's the Amy style of instead of a Y, it's E-E at the end.
Oh, there it is. Chalamet.
Right.
What the fuck? He looks like a pretty boy.
Right? He looks young, too.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, he's 23.
That actually looks really close to...
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I can
exactly.
See it. I can see it.
We haven't got any big news on any of the... Like, who was it? It was like... We knew who Lady Jessica was. She was... Let's see, updated cast list one day ago. It was Rebecca Ferguson, who was Ilsa Faust in the Mission Impossible movies. So she was like the main female.
Sure.
And she was on the British show The White Queen.
Hey, that's good.
Oh, look at you go. But we do not know who the man, the myth, the legend, Leto is yet.
What about fucking the Emperor? We have any of those? Or his daughter?
Right, right.
I wonder what they're going to... Do you think they're going to, like... Because we don't... Have they talked about the plot yet? It's not going to be...
So, Brian Herbert, executive of state to... Frank Herbert's son has gotten the fourth draft of the script, and on Twitter he said it covers the first half of the book.
Hmm.
Okay, that's fine.
Right.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I'll take that. This will be it'd be interesting because they've done this a few times, and it's never really like hit home for me like the original has.
Right, and I don't. Know if it will. I just like the idea that someone's putting some money and some love. The director really loves the thing, and something you know
that helps
maybe that
a lot.
That's enough. Maybe the love of it is enough for it to make it. And I mean, it's that Denis Villeneuve guy who did The Arrival, who did
Blade Runner
2049, you know, Sicario. So he's like got a good pedigree of all the movies he's directed. Been really fun and.
It'd be kind of cool if Patrick Stewart were back in this, too.
I don't know. Like, it's like, there's parts of me that, like, be like, I can't see other people playing them, but I'm like, they kind of, like, it will be weird if you hear certain lines come out of a different person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, no, that, what you said about loving it is a big deal, because I was reading, I was listening to a podcast with the guys who did the screenplay for Into the Spider-Verse, or the screen, and they were talking, I mean, you could tell they love that, they love comics, they love that Spider-Man character, they love just comics in general, because it's such a comic movie, that they definitely put things into it for comic readers and stuff that just hit home, you could, and it was pretty neat. So you take a movie like that, which doesn't seem like it's going to be that good, and you put some love behind it, some money behind it, and all of a sudden you have an amazing movie. Which, has anybody seen yet, or is it just me?
It's you, unfortunately.
You guys, maybe I'll
get the, I got the weekend free, so maybe I'll
bet
get
it's. I bet it's going to be in the top like five of the year for like geek movies or nerd movies or comic book movies.
Guarantee.
And this was a big year with Black Panther, Infinity Wars, and that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, me and Griff are going to go see it Sunday. I think we're going to go at like 11 or something.
It's a good movie. You should watch it. It's well done. There's lots of heart in it. Ryan would like it because of the heart.
Ooh, there's all kinds of feelings.
Yep.
I like.
Try. Gets them in the feels.
Okay, Ryan, what's your opinion on Dune?
I was just looking how long the original was, because I was thinking I should watch it again.
I bet it's less than 2 hours.
It's an hour. It's 2 hours and 17 minutes.
17 minutes.
Is that like the extended cut? Because the original.
No.
What's the original? Is it 2 hours 17 minutes?
Yeah.
Why does it go by so fast? It's a good movie, that's why.
Right.
It's one of the first movies I made Amy watch with me when we were dating. And she was like, this is a great movie. It's really super good. Can I go to bed now?
I do remember watching, like, even though it was dated, I never saw it when it first came out, but I watched it with you guys later, and it held up really well. You know what I mean?
Because it's stylistic sci-fi.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I know what you're saying, because that it felt like, I almost felt like an extra charm that it looked a little old, but it still had this cool feel to it.
They could do some cool stuff with, like, imagine like actual personal shields and fighting with real technology and stuff. It could look pretty neat.
Right.
So I look forward to seeing something like that. Over under on if they actually use internal dialogue. What do you think?
Oh, I don't think so.
What? It's so good, though.
It's so
it's important.
It's super important to, like, it happens in the book, like, a lot. Like, it's always happening in the book, because it's the whole thing is, like, what you say versus what you're saying in your...
Yeah, the book is very much centered on, like, first-person omniscient kind of thing for each character.
Yep. Which is fine, I like that, but I just don't... I don't know, they did so good the first time around, it's going to be hard to do it again.
We'll see. I'm hopeful, I'm always hopeful. I was hopeful for the miniseries, too.
Did that happen, or did it just suck?
I just didn't like it. I mean, it didn't connect, I guess.
I mean, they did some interesting, cool things. Yeah. Like, everyone had, like, a primary palette color. Like, you know, like, House Atreides blue. House Harkonnen red. You know, like, it's like... So, like, everyone had, like, a big color that was, like, all their outfits wore and stuff like that. So it was cool. It was very easy, if you weren't paying attention, to be able to tell who was talking, because by the color they were wearing, you could see their basically their background.
Yeah. Okay, what I also liked about the original was that you could tell you were in a deep and established universe, and they didn't, like, hold your hand. They were just like, this exists, this shit has happened for 1,000 years, and let's go. Kind of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, now I should watch that movie again.
Right.
See, yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Did they start The Watcher, or Watchmen on HBO yet?
Nope. We saw a split second of it in, like, their, because of the Golden Globes, like, the little, like, HBO, like, this is HBO kind of teaser thing, where they showed, like, we have Game of Thrones and all this other stuff, and we shot some footage of it. It's like, Game of Thrones, here the shot is basically them in Winterfell, and Sansa going like, "The castle is yours, my queen." Yeah, basically mimicking her, what her father said in the first episode of the first season, where he says, like, Eddard Stark says that to the king as well, Rob Baratheon.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, speaking of Game of Thrones, so this is the second time now that the President of the United States has used Game of Thrones imagery in, like, a tweet or a national address or something. How many times do you get before you get sued?
I don't know.
I didn't know he did it the first time, or once.
Yeah, it was a while back.
But did you see did you watch The Daily Show?
No.
Basically, on the Daily Show with Trevor Noah, they found footage of him in 2004. Basically, he was getting a honorary degree from a college, right? And he was giving a speech, and it is basically the jux of this whole entire speech was like, if someone puts a concrete wall in front of you, you go over it, you go under it, you find a way around.
That's funny.
Do not stop until you get to what's on the other side of the wall.
That's pretty funny.
Really, that's pretty awesome. It's just too perfect.
Right.
I hope that blows up and everybody's watching.
And the fact that he's using Game of Thrones stuff to say, like, a wall is coming and stuff like that, the whole crux is the wall won't fucking work.
I know.
It'll only work for so long
before it fucking fails. They had a good line on the The Tonight Show. They're like, you know who came through the wall? All the white people. Now, all the white people came through the wall. All the white walkers came through the wall.
Literally, right through the wall.
Yeah. Whatever. Cool. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like it should. Hey, what? There's like a movie coming out soon too that I'm looking forward to in February, isn't there?
Is it that movie that's so great?
I think so.
Good.
What's that?
I don't know.
Captain Marvel. When's that come out?
That comes out in March.
March 8th.
It's also basically February.
Right. Yeah, I know. Wow. We're basically 2 months away, like, which is pretty great.
So, yeah. I'm on this website looking at movies. Tell me if you will see this movie in the theater or no. Just your first gut reaction. Avengers 4.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm mostly interested in Ryan, but anyways, Star Wars Episode 9.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially if Rose is not in it.
Son of a bitch. It Chapter 2.
Yep.
Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, I'll go, but I would get. I'm just guessing now.
I probably wouldn't. I mean, anyways, Frozen 2.
Nope.
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Lego Movie 2.
Yeah. Nope. Evan's already said he wants to see it.
Wonder Woman 2?
Yes.
1984, yep. Yes.
Captain Marvel?
Yep.
Yes.
Live action Lion King?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Live action Aladdin?
No.
Yeah.
Some of these I might just wait for, like, at some point there might be enough to, like you said, like, I might just watch it later because you end up busy in that week or something.
Right, so my main thing is your first gut reaction if you're like, I will make an effort to go see it, or I can probably wait till the thing. So that's kind of what we're going through. So, Toy Story 4?
No.
I've seen all the other ones in the theater, so
probably not for me.
Dave's going to go.
Yeah, probably not, actually.
Okay, so that one's iffy. Dumbo live action.
The what?
What?
The Dumbo. Why? Dumbo live Dumbo. Action.
I don't like Dumbo as a movie. I think it's boring.
Yeah.
Okay. Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
Far
From Home. Yes.
How to Train Your Dragon 3.
I would see that shit for sure.
Ryan loves fucking movies.
How to Train Your Dragon are pretty good.
Remember that one time when he went off on the podcast talking about How to Train Your Dragon for like a half hour?
What was that? I was like...
All right, we got two more. John Wick Chapter 3?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, and Glass.
I would like to see
it. I would like to see that.
Interesting. Actually, I'm more excited about that than a lot of them.
Okay, that's interesting. That pretty much came out the way it would be, I thought. Dave would like to see almost every movie. Ryan will go if we're going. Dave, too, will go if he's not doing anything. And Adam really doesn't want to see anything.
What?
That's what you do. You're like,
you don't want to see anything.
If it's a big movie, yeah. Otherwise, I don't really want to see it. Cool. Thanks for humoring me.
Yeah, it's all right, Adam. You're a busy man. You got a little plate with a lot of things on it.
He's just got to work so goddamn much.
He doesn't. Not anymore.
And everything.
No, I got school now.
So
what are you learning in school, though? I thought you were done with school.
No, I got 3 classes left.
Hey, you don't have any financial assistance with those, do you? Like from the
good. Yeah.
Are you being fucked at all yet?
No. No, it's through work. So no, I don't get
so
it.
So no federal, like FAFSA stuff.
No.
Like most people right now, like Amy works in higher ed, and right now they're basically doing enrollment and starting of the spring semester, and most, like 80% of students get federal financial application or assistance, and none of the applications are going through.
Really?
Thanks,
I think
asshole.
I already took care of all that shit like 5 months ago.
Yeah, but usually you have, for this month, for this semester? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So I already took care of that. But yeah, I get like a stipend from work for going to school. So.
Gotcha.
I don't have to worry about that.
But won't they be sad? They'll be like, you use this money to not help out the FedEx empire?
Don't tell them that.
It's either that or I would have left 5 years ago to find a better job.
Yeah, remember when he was going to be a train conductor and we were all on board with it?
We were on board with that train conductor.
We were fucking so on board.
Ryan was not.
I think your life would have sucked, being that you had to be away for like 36 days in a row or something.
But it would have been 5 years ago, so he would have been fine with it.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
He would have had so many hoes in different area codes. Oh, man, that would have been great.
And so true. My boys, every now and then, I'd be like, let's go see Adam and his train, and they'd like go crazy because they love fucking trains.
Woo! They'd be like, all aboard!
All right, cool. Anything else we got to talk about this evening? I don't have my left hand screen, so if there is, throw it out there.
Not really.
Okay.
Save Dave's question for next week.
All my questions.
What's wrong with you? We can do your question.
No.
It's another like 45 minute conversation.
Yeah, okay. It takes a lot of time.
I don't go to bed.
It was basically, it had to do with Hannah and what kind of weapon she would murder Dave with.
Oh, no, let's not do that.
True.
We did get our first message through our website, which is, what's the website, Adam?
www.geeksnextdoor.xyz.
Good job. We got our first email through that website. Usually we get them through like just links from any of the download sites, DMs Guild or DriveThruRPG or something. And he said, hey, this series looks like it would be fun to run. I started our group and we were played through the first chapter. My players enjoyed the mix of mystery and combat. Did you complete the last 5 chapters? And I had to respond back and be like, we're releasing them one in a month. I can't do it anymore. Dave is so overworked right now. He yells at me all the time.
They finished how many? Did they finish all of them?
No, they just said we played through the first chapter, they said.
Oh.
And they want to make sure that we finish the rest because it kind of sucks if you play through 7 chapters and you're left high and dry.
Well, you don't want to get like R.R. Martin and be like, what the fuck?
So, in other words, that's awesome. Like, they know it, if you read it, it says we release once a month, but they don't know when we started. We might have started, 10 years ago and just never start. But
yeah.
No, we're actually up to date. We did chapter 8 went out today, so if you want to download it, you can download it at any of those websites or at our website, which is what, Adam?
www.geeksnextdoor.xyz.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's nice that someone responded. I think it's good, and maybe when someone does something well or you appreciate something, you should remember to reach out and say so.
Because
that happens far too infrequently these days.
Super infrequently. Good point, Ryan. Ryan, if people need to get in touch with us to give us a positive comment, what email address would they use?
I have to defer to Adam on that.
Really? Really, Ryan?
See, this is much more entertaining.
It messed him up.
He's like, I only talk to Chris about this. I can't handle it.
It's the FTW one.
It is the Geek Next Door FTW. That's for the win, Chris.
geeksnextdoorftw@gmail.com.
That's correct. geeksnextdoorftw@gmail.com. All right. But Dave, too, man, if you're surfing Facebook when you want to get in touch with us, what website would you go to?
Well, on Facebook, you just go and search The Geeks Next Door.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a pretty good idea. And Dave, good job. Your art looks amazing.
Thanks.
I don't know if you guys saw the recent three, but they're pretty good. Not going to lie. Well, one's a piece of shit, but the rest of the other two are good.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm just playing. I'm really looking forward to these last five chapters, by the way. Chapter 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, chapter last four chapters, because three of them are basically like extreme dungeon trunk crawls in the middle and trying to survive, and the last one is like super like mystery completion thing, and I'm looking forward to writing them. I'm looking forward to 12 more pictures, Dave. That's all we need. 12 more in the next 4 months. 12 more.
He's like, holy fuck, when you put it that way, geez,
yeah,
it's gonna work.
Yeah,
you do
4 months!
One at a time.
4 months is so long!
But does it sometimes seem more when you like...
Yeah, I know.
But in the same way, when you look back and you see how much you did, then you go like, shit, I did a lot. Actually, nice work, me.
Yeah. That kind of translates to one a week, doesn't it? Yeah, it's basically one a week. Man, one a week? Shit. I take at least more than one shit a week, so there you go.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back next week to talk about Dave's question, which will take 45 minutes, apparently. And, I don't know, talk about Dune some more, because that was cool.
Right. I like Dune.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Good night, Japan.